Brazil, considered one of Latin America's most influential countries, and for many years seen as a model of economic turnaround despite government corruption scandals. But now it's in the midst of political crisis. Many Brazilians have taken to the streets to demand right-wing President Jair Bolsonaro step down. At the same time, former union leader and left-winger Lula da Silva seems to be making a comeback. Could he be looking at a third term in power? The question will be down to Brazilian voters. Will they look left or right? The election is next year. One man who may shed some light on what the future might hold is Brazil's former president, Fernando Henrique Cardoso. At 90, Cardoso has experienced much of Brazil's modern history, the ups and downs. Fernando Henrique Cardoso talks to Al Jazeera.
President Fernando Henrique Cardoso, thanks so much for talking to Al Jazeera. Brazil is in the middle of an enormous crisis. Over 500,000 people have died because of COVID-19. President Jair Bolsonaro has ignored scientists who were talking about the risks of COVID-19 in the country. What do you think of the situation that's happening right now in Brazil?
Well, you know, we are adjusting to the pandemic, you see. But the fact is that there are lots of Brazilians dying, and some of them have been affected by the virus. So I think it's a delicate situation. It's not different from what occurs in other parts of the world, but anyhow, I think you have to maintain precaution. That's my case. I try to be at home to avoid contact with other people. The point is, by reading newspapers and by listening TV, it's easy to understand how dramatic the situation in Brazil.
But in Brazil, the president, as I said before, ignored the warnings. He was against wearing face masks, against lockdowns. Do you think the president should be impeached?
Oh, you know, the president has his behavior is a little bit uncontrollable. He says something that are not appropriate for my mind. It's not appropriate for a president. But anyhow, I think that the population has to be informed, and the media in Brazil has a crucial phenomenon. It's a crucial phenomenon. Day and night are alerting people about what can occur if you don't use mask, if you are looking without your mask. And I can see people using masks. They are using masks. So the decline of the epidemic is due to the effort by Brazilian people itself, not by government.
But the president is currently being investigated in Congress because of mishandling the pandemic.
It's true that the president was not prepared to face such a situation. It seems to me that he is not well seated in the chair of president. You see. He's trying to do what's feasible in the situation.
Mr. President, but you are concerned about the situation in the country, and you've met former President Lula da Silva in an attempt to unite in the coming elections against President Bolsonaro. Is this the case? Could you tell us a little bit about what this alliance is all about?
I don't know if this is our case or the case of the president. The discussion in Congress is always a kind of to menace the president, a threat to the president. See, the president has to deal with the Congress. But now, what is important to my mind is to take into account the public opinion, to express solidarity with those who are suffering from the coronavirus. This is more important than the political issues. That's not the normal vision of someone's in power. They are much more concerned with their small political struggle than with the big national struggle. They think this is a big mistake, to my mind. You see? I don't want to be hypercritic in that sense, but then how I have to avoid that. That is the situation. It seems to me that the lack of the sense of a path and solidarity during the transposition of this momentum is very necessary for the country.
Do you think the president is a threat to Brazil's democracy?
Well, I hope and I think, but I hope to, that democracy in Brazil is well planted, rooted in Brazilian society. It's independent from the behavior of the presidents or the behavior of the parties. You see, the population has has proven freedom. Freedom is very important. I remember the time when we had authoritarian regimes in Brazil. In my own case, you see, I was afraid. I had fear. But fearing every night when some person came to my house, or the house in which I lived at the time, I was a little bit, you know, under, you know, oh my God, what's that? Could be police. That's not the case in Brazil. We have not this similar sense of fear. We are not fearing. We are feeling that there is something lacking, the direction, but not, we are not in personal terms with fear. I hope that this will be enough to produce in the future a better situation. That is to say, to keep the institutions working. The Indian institutions are working. One very important thing, the press is free in Brazil. I'm speaking here to you without any preoccupation. The TV is free, and everyone knows what's happening. Because if the president says something, immediately the public opinion will be very critic. As far as the public opinion keeps some resistance, this is good for the future. I mean, democracy will be in continuity, I hope. And I will do my best to try to keep democracy in continuity in Brazil.
Given the current situation in the country, when you talk and you think about politics, I mean, would you support former President Lula as candidate to the presidency, or you think it's necessary to find a third option that will help solve the polarization that exists in Brazil today?
Let me say to you very frankly, what is happening now in Brazil is again an attempt to transform Lula into a kind of the demonio, of, you know, so all the bad things in the world are represented by him. That's not my view. I think I prefer to have a candidate from my party, which is the PSDB or another, a more, how can I put, more oriented toward democracy than Lula could be. But Lula is not a threat to democracy. Lula proved that he is not incompetent, so it's not a tragedy for the country. He is, of course, is a candidate. I met him some time ago, after some years, not a year, months of having no dialogue. See, in the past we had very good dialogue, but more recently was more difficult because Lula is very peculiar, and Lula is a man of power. I decide no more be in political electoral battles. Lula is a man who has the capacity to continue, not the capacity, has the desire to continue in activity, in political activity. And he is, well, this is a characteristic, and it's not in itself something bad. It depends. So that's my view.
Polls show that he is the best candidate to defeat Bolsonaro in next year's elections. That's what latest polls are saying. What do you say to that?
Please, let me say very clearly. I think that someone who has been elected will have to respect because he has had votes. Well, I think that Bolsonaro is more capable to keep their votes, his votes, not capable. Probably he will be a loser if he competes. In the case, the main candidate against Bolsonaro by now is Lula. But if you look data, it's not clear yet who will be the candidate. And who has the capacity to really to touch the feeling, the heart of the Brazilian population. I hope someone will be capable to touch the heart and the interests of the Brazilian population, in which could avoid me, at least, to have this dramatic choice between Bolsonaro and Lula, yeah, which is a radical choice, you see. I would prefer to have a more, more democratic kind of candidate. Both will have to respect democracy. Some of them, Lula, has more the sense that democracy is important. Me see, it seems to me. But anyhow, to put it more concisely, I think that is is a risky situation to, by the third time, become president. I was two times. I know how difficult the second time was. It was also for Lula. Why to try to be again candidate? Repetition. Brazil is a new country. There is impossible not to see there are lots of candidates which are younger. And why not to put our effort in promoting a young as a candidate for the president?
Corruption is a big problem in Brazil and in Latin America. We've seen lots of irregularities committing in fighting corruption. We're seeing that the judiciary in many cases is used as a political tool. What do you think needs to change in order to solve this?
Politics in Brazil is a risky business, see? Risky business, see? And I'm more prudent in using this term, this kind of word to blame that, wow, Mr. X is corrupt, because everything is more complicated than that, you see? And in some case, the problem is when corruption is organized by government. Well, there are some elements in the government, current government, in which it's possible to see there are some, not adhesion, but some acceptance of realities. Well, I think it's the president has to I'm saying this now it's easy, but the president has to replicate, to say no, I'm against, and repeat again and again, because that's the sense of the common person in Brazil. And the sense that the political men, they have power and they are trying to use the power to extract more profit for themselves. I am not too, to what extent this is true, but that's the mere fact that this is a sentiment is enough to motivate the president and those who are close to the president to react against that. This is missing now in Brazil, the sentiment that the government is acting directly against corruption. Not the fact that it is involved in, but the sentiment of the lack of a more active, you know, reaction against corruption.
When you were president, you spoke about refounding Brazil. But in the past year, the situation is so dire for many people, you know, poverty rates on the rise, unemployment. It seems that in many cases, Brazil has gone back 20 or 30 years. What do you think needs to happen to help the country recover from what is happening now?
Now what really is worries us in Brazil, as in even a country in the world, is the coronavirus. This is but this will necessarily has an end. Well, and then this population will take into account the fact that they have no income because the work is not abundant. You know? On the contrary, the data they are repeating every day practically that you are producing more, less employment. So this will be difficult for the population. And also everyone will look after the president. What is the direction? Do you have hope or not? The sense that you have no, in a bad situation in terms of income, in terms of job, and without the sense that this is possible to be, in the future better, well, it's a complicated situation. This is I think I'm more worried with this kind of thing than with the day-by-day situation in Brazil.
Do you think that at least on the economic front, the government of Bolsonaro is doing the right thing?
No, I don't say that. It depends on what you have in your mind. In the case of Brazil, the Brazilian economic forces in Brazilian society are strong enough to go ahead. We have industry, we have agriculture, we're exporting. The day by day is occupied by those who have interest in making their jobs and make and to have success, measuring success by profitability. Well, I think this is okay. This will continue to be like that. The moment is bad. We are economically in bad shape, but I don't think that the people is blaming the government because of that. That's not the main question. I think that the ideology of liberalism is rooted in Brazilian society. So they believe that each one is responsible for what happens with them. So it's not the government. But the government has a place also. And those who are out of the benefits of economic society are looking after the government, and they are not looking in a positive way. They are looking at the government as in a negative way. Because why? What is occurring nowadays? There are some subsidies done by government. Even now, even today, they're discussing the continuity of the subsidies. Well, that is necessary, but it's not the horizon to open eyes of the people to say, well, this will be a momentum, and then we'll have jobs. So that's the point. And I think also in terms of the economy, I would say maybe the government is too much confident in the sense that, well, the markets are capable by themselves to solve the situation. I have more doubts about that. I think that taking into account the unevenness of the Brazilian society, well, if the government is not capable to behave as a lift to help people, it will be difficult to recover.
Do you think that in countries like Brazil and many other countries around the world, is it possible to implement long-term plans of growth to help the people when you have immediate needs to resolve, everyday needs like poverty, among other things? I mean, how do you find balance into that? You tried to do that while you were president.
It's, you know, there is a hope in Brazilian culture more than in political culture, but in the national culture, in the sense that, well, in the future we'll be in better shape. This is the sense. Well, this is not necessarily true. We are traversing now a bad moment in the world, not just in Brazil, but in the world. So I think that maybe the government has to take this into account, the situation into account. I don't want to give my own example, because it's difficult for me to speak in terms of the past. But anyhow, I try at least to be as frank as possible in front of difficult situations. The situation now is difficult, not because of the president only or mainly, but because of the structure of the economy, international economy in our days, and also because of the fact that Brazil is performing quite well in the agriculture, but not so well in manufacturers. Yeah? And how bad it was in the past in manufacturers. So if you look where I live, there is some place in which it's possible to see people without job. When I work, the same applies with more intensity. So the number of people without jobs, I think this is a big preoccupation. Not enough to transform the sentiment that Brazil has done the best. No, no, we believe that you continue to do. We have the belief that Brazil in the future will be better. This is a belief, but the reality is in contradiction with what we want, what desire, our wish, you see? So I think the president has to be a kind of bridge linking these two worlds, you see? Not denying one side to emphasize only the other side, but to be a kind of linking. Otherwise, we'll be no more credible. And I think that for those in power or political people, the important characteristic is to be capable to realize what is said, you see? To be consistent in terms of credibility, much more than in other area. When we are losing credibility, we are in bad shape. I'm not saying that the president is losing credibility, maybe, but if he loses credibility, well, this will be difficult for him. And also, what people will vote for in favor of someone capable to express the sentiment and the interests of people. I said this before. I'm just repeating, but I think this is crucial in political life.
Mr. President, you're a sociologist, so why do you think so? You still are. Why? My question is, why do you think so many countries, we saw what happened in the United States, in Brazil, and other countries in the world where you see populism, this polarization that takes over society, why is this something that we're starting to see more often now than in the past, or maybe it happened in the past, but we were not so much aware of it. I mean, what is your explanation to what is happening in the world right now?
You know, there are times in which the structure of the productive structure of society changes very quickly. This is one moment in which the productive structure is changing very quickly. And the capacity of people to deal with the new apparatus, I mean, technological instruments to produce, is not comparable to what it has been before. Before we had less form training, but we have less also expectation in terms of of those who will be receiving a job. So this is the unbalancing between the so quick transformation in technology and the lack of good people prepared repeats again and again the same situation. I mean, those which are excluded. So this is a bad sense. It derives from the kind of production we have. And if you add to this a political ideology in the sense that what is important is to look for those who are capable to become victorious, it's still worse because they are not capable, not because they don't want, but because they don't have the instruments to perform. So I think we are living a moment very difficult in the world, not the first one. From time to time, some similarities can occur. But anyhow, looking after our lives, our day-by-day life, what is really our difficulty? Took my case. If I said that I'm sociologist, I was a sociologist in terms of capable to do research. So that now I can write. I have some formation training. But when I start to be professor at the University of Sao Paulo when I was 20 years old, this is no more repeatable. Yeah? The competition now is very, very consistent, much more than in the past. So this is normal that people want more because and receive less. That is the uneasiness of our situation in the world, not just in Brazil. In several parts of the world, it's like that, even in America.
Do you think the world's politics, the world's economy, is going to work different once this pandemic is over? Do you think that something is going to change?
It's difficult to change the world economy. But the world economy is not by itself responsible for the situation. That's why I think it's always necessary to look after how policies are implemented, because this human being has the capacity to change and to put some resource in the hands of those who need to receive some inputs. I think it will depend on ideologies. That is to say, how the vision you have to face the situation, you see? And politics cannot be only something which is automatic. It depends on to believe in. That's why when I refer to the Brazilian situation, I said, well, it will be necessary to have someone who symbolizes the wishes of people. I think this is, I'm a sociologist, I know that structures are very important, but it's not enough to look after the structures. It's necessary also to look after what you believe in. How do you are playing your job or your vocation, you see? It depends on human capacities. But there are human capacities, so even in Brazilian situations, not a situation of despair. I remember in the past, in the 30s, yeah, it was much more difficult. During the war, it was terrible. You in England, not to speak about you, which was really terrible. And in spite of all, what was important? Resiliency, capacity to believe that it's possible to do better. Well, I think that what is necessary in Brazil is this, not just resiliency, but hope, to believe that it's possible to move towards some objective and to share your desires with people. That's my way of thinking. I don't know if I'm right.
Mr. President, thank you for talking to Al Jazeera.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure for me too.